tell you what, last time I spoke, we talked a little bit about privilege, and if you guys remember, we talked about being associated with a dad or someone else's name, and you getting privilege or doors opening on your behalf because of that. I don't know if you guys remember that topic, but you know, I was thinking about that, and you know, a lot of times when blessings or privilege happen to other people, we say, well, it's because they were privileged, because they were associated with something else, right? So for some reason, it was easy for them. But when privilege happens to us, it's always, well, of course, we worked hard for that, right? We always justify that we were doing the right things to make those things happen. And I was thinking about how we are around things that we're blessed with. Are we truly appreciative about the things that God does for us? So I want to talk a little bit about thankfulness and appreciation this morning. If you will turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. So 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is a very simple verse. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." We're always looking for God's will in our life. God's telling us one thing right here. His will for us is to give thanks in everything. There's something about giving thanks. You know, I'm going to do a little alliteration this morning. We're going to talk about giving thanks in spirit, giving thanks in service, and giving thanks in surrender. So in spirit, there are a lot of things you cannot be when you're grateful or you're thankful or you're appreciative. And thankfulness pushes out a lot of things in your life. You cannot be arrogant if you're thankful. You cannot be bitter if you're thankful. You can't be hopeless if you're thankful. You can't be prideful if you're thankful. You can't be lazy if you're thankful. What does that mean? If I've got a job to do, I ought to be thankful I've got a job to do. So you can't be lazy around that, right? You've got to put your best foot forward. There are many other things you can't be when you're thankful. One thing you can't be is judgmental when you're thankful. There was an old Bible scholar named Matthew Henry. You guys may have heard of him. He's written several commentaries and over the years has put out a lot of work on behalf of Christ. And he wrote, he was robbed one day by a gunman. And some of his money was taken and he was injured. He wasn't shot, but he was injured. And he later wrote about his account, and this is what he wrote. He says, "I have so much to be thankful for. I am thankful that God wrought such a change in my heart that it was I who was being robbed and not the one doing the robbing. I am thankful that even though the young man took my money, he did not take my life also. I am thankful that even though he took my money bag, there wasn't much inside of it. I am thankful that I alone was injured and not any additional persons. I'm thankful that my life is so much more than earthly possessions God has granted to me in my sojourn here, and I am thankful that even should I have lost my life in this encounter, I know heaven is waiting on me." We can be thankful in a lot of things, even in a bad situation like that. And the thing that struck me most about what he said is, "I'm thankful that I was the one being robbed and not the one robbing." That tells me that we get it, that he gets it, and we should get it about there's a fine line between being the abused and being the abuser. We've got it all in us. You see, we should give thanks in everything. That's what Thessalonians 5:18 says. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, concerning you." You, this is a personal verse. So we're always looking for God's will. And you know, thankfulness comes in a lot of forms. You know, we come in here and we praise God in church and in service. And that's good and that's great. But I don't worry so much about how you're going to act in service in the hours that we're here at church, because we know how to act here, don't we? It doesn't really concern me a whole lot. But what's your reputation around town? Do you have a thankful heart and a thankful spirit 24/7? And do you treat people as such outside of here? If I asked around about you, your coworkers, would they say that you have a humble attitude? And are you exhibiting the spirit of Christ? Or would I get a different story? I don't know. So how do you think, we're talking about being thankful. How do you think God feels when we aren't thankful, when we aren't appreciative of what He's done for us? Well, let's just think about how it makes us feel. You know, we all have things that we do throughout the day, and we contribute to our families and to our jobs and to our church. And when you don't get an acknowledgement of appreciation, how does it make you feel? Jennifer, last week or a couple weeks ago, I came home and she had cut the yards. And she had weed-eated and she'd edged and done everything. This was before Brother Dana preached about Miss Esther doing that. But it was before, so she did that on her own initiative. And it was, you know, we've got our segregation in our tasks at home, and nobody's got jobs. You know, I do laundry, I do this and that. I don't do as much as she does, but I almost always cut the grass. And we weren't in the best mood that day with each other. I don't know how to say that. But I didn't say anything. I just came home and I just, wow, she cut the grass. That was interesting. And I didn't say anything to her. And she came up and she said, "You could have at least said thank you." I thought, yeah, I could have, couldn't I? So, after I learned how I should have said thank you, another day or so went by and I learned that the lawnmower was broken, the weed eater was broken, and the blower was broken. So the next time I cut grass, it took me about 9 hours to fix everything and work through the grass. But I should have said thank you. Actually, ungratefulness is a really big crime. And Brother Ken talked Wednesday night about how his dad used to spank him, take care of business. I didn't get that at home at all. You guys know my mom, and she's the one that raised me. And I remember one spanking that I got, and it was because I was ungrateful. We didn't have a whole lot of money, and she bought me some new blue jeans, and I didn't like the way they fit. You know, I was a 5 year old. I was 5 years old, and I remember I was pitching a fit about it. I didn't like the way they fit. I didn't like they were too dark blue or whatever. And she wore me out, and I remember it. But nothing provoked her to that kind of anger itself, being ungrateful, especially in a time where there wasn't a lot. Now, Brother Ken, I did pray a lot of times for a whooping, because my mom had another technique that was much more painful. It was called the talking to. Have y'all ever had a talking to? Oh my goodness. There was no relief from the talking to. And I would have much rather been hit. So, if there's no greater insult than appreciation or not being appreciative, then what's one of the greatest compliments? Is the act of appreciation. When we tell someone that we appreciate them, or when we go to them and say, "I recognize the contribution you've been making. I recognize what you're doing, and I want you to know that I appreciate it." You know, what do we do here in church when Brother Ken tells us to all mingle and tell each other you love you? You say, "Hey, I'm glad you're here. I love you," or "I appreciate you." Why don't we use those words, "I appreciate you," and use them synonymously with "I love you"? Because it's basically the same thing. It's showing an act of gratitude. So maybe God doesn't notice when we're unthankful, right? Maybe He's not concerned with those sorts of things. Let's go over into the book of Luke, chapter 17, and let's look at what God might have to say, or whether He may notice when we're unthankful. Okay, Luke chapter 17 and verse 11 is where we're going to focus. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show thyselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory save this stranger." We want to be like this stranger. If you don't know if Jesus or if God is concerned about unthankfulness, first thing Jesus said is, "Where are the 9? He is concerned about it being ungrateful and being unthankful. If he's going to supply all these things to you in your spirit and even material goods and take care of you, you need to acknowledge that Christ is where your substance comes from. Don't be one of the 9. So that was our discussion of thankfulness in spirit. Now let's talk a little bit about thankfulness in service. Service, how do you spend your time and your energy and your talents and your ability? Do you spend all those gifts that God, capabilities God's given you on you? Is it all about you? Or is it about Him? Is it about service to God? Now, I was thinking about Obama, our president, the other day, and his ability to speak is so powerful. I mean, if there's one thing this man can do, is he can deliver a speech. And Jennifer and I were talking, and I said, "You know, I wonder if he practiced that or if he was born with that." And she said, "You know, that's a talent that it's just a God-given talent that he'd be able to do that." And I thought, you know, with his ability to speak, what could he do to inspire the world? Even if he wasn't president, the gift that he has of oration and the gift that he has to lift people up, he could have done some great things in this world. And maybe he'll be a much greater man once he's left the presidency and he's on his speaking tours. Maybe that's where he's going to really be impactful. You know, I need him to be impactful somewhere. As a matter of fact, the damage that you've seen that he's made is because we've taken someone that's a great speaker and we've put them in a leadership role. I've seen this repeated over and over in much smaller and much less damaging areas in corporation where we take a leader and we make them a leader over something where they have no vision, they have no heart, they have no knowledge of the organization, and they kill the organization. If they're not ready, I had a mentor one time tell me, I said, "You know, I really want to be in that spot." And he says, "Well, you're not ready." He said, "You will be ready, but you're not ready." I said, you know, I was kind of insulted. He says, "Look, the worst thing you can do is get in a spot that you're not ready. It hurts the people. It hurts you. You got to go through some things before you can do certain things. And you can't take a man that's been a professor, a lawyer, never run a business, never run a county or a state or never run anything really, and put them in charge of everything. Degradation is what comes from that. That's what happens. So anyway, the abilities that you have and the talents that you have, God gave you those talents for a specific reason. And we ought to thank Him by using them in the right ways and in the right places. So with your talents and with your gifts, do you build people up? Are you a person that takes opportunity to help people as you go throughout your day? You know, we're all exposed to a lot of different environments. Some of you are in the schools, some of you are in your workplaces, some of you are in the hospitals around here. You've got the ability to reach out and be someone that lets Christ's Spirit flow through them. And we ought to be in service to Christ in these environments. Now, I'm not talking about, now, There's this one guy that sticks. I knew him about 10 years ago, and he sticks out in my mind every time I think about this. But every time you saw him, and he meant well, but his hand, when he would shake your hand, he'd say, you know, praise God, praise God. And everything was God, God, God. And it was, I even felt uncomfortable around him. And I was, you know, I'm a Christian. But, you know, I'm not talking about being a freak. I'm talking about, you know, just be real. Be yourself and let God work through you. I mean, you can't trust anyone that's just always, you know, just with the goofy stuff and the cliches. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. Okay, there's another way that we can worship God and be thankful to God in our service. How about our health, our bodies? You know, this almost always comes up when I teach, and I'm not sure why that is, but we can really honor God by taking care of our health. There's so many people that are into wheelchairs and that have very bad situations physically working against them, and we ought to honor the fact that we're not in that situation by taking care of what God's given us, our health. I read a book called Body for Life. Some of you may have read it. It was from about a decade ago. And the gentleman in the book, Bill Phillips, the guy that wrote the book, he talked about, he told a story about a man that was in a wheelchair, and he was inspiring his brother to be physically fit or to go run, basically. He was telling him to go run and be healthy. And he says, you know, I would love to be able to feel the road under my feet. I would love to be able to feel physical activity in my body, but I can't. So go do that for me. Go do that on behalf of me. And we ought to be thinking about the fact that God's given us the ability to stand. He's given us the ability to reach. He's given us the ability to speak. He's given us the ability to serve. And we ought to honor that and not break that down by disregarding our bodies as the temple that God meant it to be. I worked with a guy. His name is John Perkins. About 2 years ago, he had a stroke. And the left half of his body he can't use it. But the man comes into work every day. And with this arm kind of, you know, solid, and this leg, he cannot feel it. He's got some braces that he wears under his clothes, and he makes his way up and down the aisles. And he started out, when he came back, his speech was slurred. Now he's almost worked through that. You know, and his face is a little bit droopy. But every day I see this man. Every day I interact with him. He does great work. He works very hard. Why is he there? He could be on disability. He could be doing a number of things. I've watched him through the last few months, and he's become one of my heroes. He is honoring what God has left him, what's remained for him, and he's doing what he can with it. And it's impressive to me. I was in a speech class in college, and here I am standing speaking. But, you know, I'm not that good, but where I was 10 and 15 years ago was just horrible. This scared me to death. And it still makes me a little nervous, but in speech class, I was horrified. And there was a guy in my speech class that I had grown up with. His name was Scott Isler. You guys know Scott? He's about my age. Some of you that worked at Southwire may know him. But Scott was disabled. He couldn't speak well. He couldn't control his arms. He couldn't walk well. And here I am, scared to death about this speech. And Scott goes before me. So they call his name. He stands up and he wobbles his way up there. And he fought every syllable of every word to get through that speech. And he made it through. And I'll be honest with you, none of us knew what he said. But he made it through that whole thing. And he stood strong and he went and sat back down. And I thought, my goodness, here I am with all my capabilities, all my abilities, and I'm scared to death. And he had no fear. And he's been one of my heroes through life. You know, the man never parked in a handicapped parking lot at college. He never asked for a single privilege. I heard the professors talking about him. He never asked for a single privilege. And he did just like everyone else, and he made it through. But we ought to let people like that inspire us that are able-bodied and have been blessed with good health, to not be ignorant with our health. Okay, I spent more time on that than I meant to, but But that's something that I'm passionate about. I think God's put that in my heart. Okay, another way that we can honor God with thankfulness is through our tithe. That's another way to serve God. Now, tithing is an expression of the fact that you get it. It means that you know where your lifeblood comes from. Now, some of you may say, well, you know, if I made more, I would tithe. Or when I make more, I'll tithe. So whether you're giving $5 a week or $10 a week or $100 or $500 or $1,000, I can assure you that making more doesn't make it easier to tithe. It's something it's a heart thing. It's not a amount thing. God's not looking for an amount thing. I mean, the Bible's been very clear about that, that someone who gives a few pennies is much greater than someone who gives a big wad of money if it's given for the right reason. But I can assure you that as you get more to give, that $10 a week wasn't really going to change your life if you kept that. But $1,000 a week may very well make a difference at home, right? So it's not a greater sacrifice, but there is a mental thing about giving more. So you got to get it in your heart in the beginning and work your way into the position that it's just a given. Tithing and giving to the Lord is just a given. And it really speaks to the fact that you know where your bread is buttered. You know that God is the one that gives and He takes away. A lot of us are self-employed. A lot of us count on business to come in. If I'm going to build a house or if I'm going to do construction, customers have to come. Well, God can bless us with those things. And a lot of you, God has blessed you with those things. And, you know, for myself, you know, I count on people recognizing what I do and caring about what I do. And I got to be honest with you, in some cases, I've gotten way more credit than I deserved. And I feel like it was just God honoring and giving me a blessing that He chose to give for whatever reason. I'm not going to say it's because I tithe or I don't tithe, but it's because He chose it. And I know that I'm not that good sometimes, you know. It's like sometimes it feels like, well, you know, this isn't deserved. But God can do those things for us, and He can do them out of the blue. And He can do them for you out of the blue. So we ought to at least honor that and acknowledge that by giving to the Lord. Now, there's other things beyond money that a lot of you have that some of us others don't. A lot of you have a great network of friends. You're rich if you've got friends. You're rich if you've got people that care about what you did that day. And I'm not talking about Facebook friends. I'm guessing if you've got 400 Facebook friends, your percentage of friend to the people who have friended you is pretty low. Not people that just worried about your business. People that are worried about you. Anyway, you know, they did an interview with Howard Hughes when he was worth about $4 billion. $4 billion, I said with a B. He was worth about $4 billion. And he said, I would trade it all for just one true friend. You know, when you're in a position like he was, or he, you know, in a elevated position, friends become difficult because you don't know who's your friend and who isn't. So I would say if you've got friends, you've got people that care about you, that's something to be thankful for. And family, and that's something to be thankful for. Not everyone has that. Don't take it for granted. Not everyone has someone they can call when they're really hurting and that they can trust to just take the information and absorb it and be a friend to them. Most of us are afraid to tell our business because we're afraid it'll be spread. So if you've got a true friend, I'll say it again, honor that with thankfulness to God. So I'm running out of time, but in spirit, in service, and lastly, I want to talk about thankfulness and surrender. This is to the people who are kind of on the fence about, you know, this thing with God, whether this thing with God is real, whether you should submit your life to God. I know as you enter into this thing, if you're still lost in here, you may think, well, God really wouldn't send anyone to hell. That's not what God is about. But if you think about it, God has given more than than you can even imagine. God gave His Son to die on a cross. Okay? Not only did He give Him to die on a cross, the process of Jesus dying on the cross meant that Jesus had to take the sins of the entire world onto Him. That's a much greater sacrifice than we can even fathom. We can't process that. Okay? So, we're talking about gratitude this morning. We're talking about appreciation. You think about this. God gave His Son and everything that went with it. We've got to appreciate that by surrendering to that. We've got to surrender to Christ and let Him come into our hearts. That shows that we appreciate the gift that God gave. Now, if you do not accept that gift, we talked about earlier about how you feel when you're not given appreciation for the things that you've done and the things that you've given. Well, God will not keep you out of hell if you reject His Son. That's Scripture. That's the bottom line. And it's all about this appreciation or this accepting of what Christ did and what God gave. So, no one else could do that for us. And if you're still wondering about this thing, I've said this before, but there's a great author years ago, C.S. Lewis. You guys probably have heard of him. But he said you got to decide three things about Christ. Is He a liar? Is He a lunatic? Or is He Lord? He had to be one of those three things. All the things He said. Read through the Bible, the things He said. He said He was the Messiah. He said He was God's Son. He was either lying about that and knew it. He was a lunatic. He thought He was something He wasn't. Or He was in fact Lord. If you believe the first two, okay. But if you believe the last one, if you believe that He was really Lord, I urge you to show that appreciation. Show and acknowledge that through surrendering to Him. Thanks for your attention this morning.